Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. I'm Dave Hodges, the host, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. And you know how I feel about Noble Gold. If you followed me at all, they can protect your retirement, which the banks can take if they're in trouble. That's Dodd-Frank Law 2010. Don't let that happen. No one should ever have their retirement associated with a bank for any reason. Noble Gold can put it under your control, back it with precious metals. And by the way, for first-time customers, they're going to give you 2 5-ounce silver coins. I've been a customer right here of Noble Gold for going on 8 years. I've been an advertiser for almost 9 years. Most reputable organization I've ever worked with. Never had a complaint from anyone in my audience. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, and I'll send you out a free information packet. And you can investigate Noble Gold's numbers on there. And I will tell you this, you can call them and talk to them. They will not try to close you. You literally have to move the process along. I was shocked the first time I did business with them, but that's how they do it. All right. We have an interesting show. And you know, I have been on the Chinese kick, the communist Chinese kick now for quite a while. I'm talking about the demise of Xi Jinping, transfer of power, which is really murky in China right now. But we've also looked at domestic spying, both in Governor Hochul before her, the same person, and Governor Cuomo's administration. And then, of course, the agro-terrorism details came out with the filing of federal indictments in federal district court in Michigan. And it was ugly. And we're going to look at the Chinese issue from a slightly different perspective involving social media. And we know the Chinese are trying to infiltrate the United States, and they've done so successfully in a multitude of dimensions. And we're going to expose one of those dimensions today. Our guest is Ben Maloney, and he takes what they call a human-centric approach to the issue of Chinese transnational repression in America. Ben is the digital outreach director for the Falun Data Information Center and has worked for Fortune 500 companies in various technology roles. With his deep background in technology, he can speak authoritatively on how the CCP weaponizes surveillance, AI, and digital tools to target both Chinese and Americans. Remember, folks, just as an aside, remember when we found out that the Chinese had police stations in America? The CCP, I mean, unbelievable, and that's actually proven fact. This is going to be amazing, and I don't want to stay too long on the intro because our time is short. And Ben, I want to welcome you to the show. First time appearance on the Common Sense Show. And I'll be honest with you, I have nothing against the Chinese people whatsoever. People are people, but I do not support anything the CCP does. And so, I'm glad to see President Trump taking some action with TikTok, but is he going about it the right way?
Yeah, it's a good question. And thanks so much for having me. And yeah, I agree. I think one big trick the Chinese Communist Party has pulled for almost 100 years is that they are the Chinese people, but they're not. They're not the Chinese people. Actually, they're almost a parasite on China. But as far as it goes with TikTok, I think that's an interesting issue to zoom in on and then zoom out a little bit more broad to help your viewers. But on the TikTok issue, what's the issue, right? Why does it matter? Isn't TikTok data stored in the US, right? Like they say, like, why should Americans be concerned about it? I think what we've learned from specifically from a Falun Gong angle, which is a spiritual practice, Buddhist-based spiritual practice based in truthfulness, compassion, tolerance, the largest group, religious group persecuted in China today. What we've learned about the Chinese Communist Party's tactics with TikTok is they claim that TikTok is this independent company. But TikTok is owned by ByteDance, and ByteDance is a Chinese company. And within Chinese companies in China, one thing to really understand is they have Chinese Communist Party committees within the company themselves to make sure that the culture of the company and the content of the company adhere to the Chinese Communist Party. So ByteDance is no different. When it comes to TikTok, what do we know? In 2019, there was leaked documents that came out about internal content moderation guidelines for TikTok. So basically what it said was there's three things you cannot talk about that we need to censor. One of them was Falun Gong. The other two were Tibet and Taiwan, I believe. And so those three show that Beijing was dictating to an American social media company what content to show or not show. So that's why one of the reasons it's that issue for Americans is, wait, is Beijing controlling what we see or how that app's used? That's why it's kind of under the guise of this. That's why this deal is important.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. They think they can dictate something inside of America, but as an aside, let me ask you if it's related to the 300,000 CCP related students that are studying here in American universities, two of which were busted for the agro-terrorism and they're being charged in federal court with it. Is this all part of the same scheme?
Yeah, so let me zoom out for a second. This is a really good point. So what is the CCP doing? They're basically undergoing unrestricted warfare against the US. And this is not a hot war. But what it is a systematic way to disrupt our freedoms and have influence. And so we know this because we had some leaked testimony from 2022, a secret meeting where Xi Jinping said to them, specifically on this Falun Gong issue, because it's a big issue for them, but this is extrapolated out to all issues, that we don't like the way that you haven't been able to control information and freedom of speech, basically in the US, as it relates to this persecuted religious group. And so we want you to do warfare, and we want you to do it in this way. We need to use disinformation, and we need to co-opt American media, the government, and lawfare to basically combat this. And so we've seen this play out. And so they have these tentacles where their warfare is quite structured. So when you talk about academia, for instance, academia is quite in interesting because it is one of the areas. And academia has a few aspects that they've been able to infiltrate. So obviously you have the students. And when the students come here, they're monitored. So there's something called the Chinese like Student Association, CCSA. And if you look at State Department, that's a front group for the Chinese Communist Party. But it's a way for the Chinese Communist Party to monitor student activity and control student activity. So for instance, when it comes to like my issue that I'm an expert on, like the Falun Gong issue, we had a student who was in the Midwest, tried to join that group, and then joined it, and then the president of that group, who's another student, called them and said, "Hey, I have to kick you out," because the consulate called me and said, "Hey, you practice this religion, and it's banned in China, so you can't be part of this." This was on a U.S. campus, so you can see that the consulate is controlling things on the U.S. campus. So it's not just about the 300,000 students that maybe are set loose and doing their own thing. It's actually quite coordinated by the Chinese Communist Party.
That is just an amazing story on an American university, but I've heard similar stories. I did a story too on how Chinese students on American campuses are forming exclusive clubs that only they can belong to, and they meet off campus so they can't be surveilled. They don't have their cell phones with them and so forth. And that leads a lot of people to believe that they're up to no good in terms of trying to influence the culture on a college campus. Have you followed that at all?
I haven't seen exactly that, but that doesn't surprise me. I mean, there was Confucius Institutes, if you remember, which were more formal. Some of them got shut down, but the Confucius Institutes ostensibly were like, "Oh, we're doing Confucian," right? It was like this exchange thing, and now all it was a front for the Chinese Communist Party. So this is actually how the Chinese Communist Party operates. They operate through front groups, and they could be on college campuses, they could be nonprofits, they could be, things that are funding American media companies, they could be anything. That actually influence. And the campus thing is important because one of the tactics in that secret meeting I talked about that she said was we need to cultivate experts. So why is it important for the Chinese Communist Party to cultivate experts, whether they be students or actually a lot of professors of Chinese studies? It's important because they become a mouthpiece to legitimize the party's stance on things, right? So if the Chinese Communist Party just comes out and says, "Hey, Dave's XYZ," people go, "Nah, I know Dave. I see a show, like, he's not like that." But what if a professor of Chinese studies says something? It starts to be more legitimate, right? So this is one tactic that they use.
Yeah. The other thing that I was told that they do is they'll go to like a K through 12 school or a university and they'll offer to do Chinese cultural education. They'll pay for the professor, they'll pay for the curriculum and the installation, and even throw some extra money in. But the minute you talk about something like Falun Gong and all the other things that the CCP does that's immoral, then they pull their funding and leave the institution in a mess.
Well, here's another one for you. We did a study where we found that Chinese textbooks used in American universities, over 10 of them, Yale and some of the top Ivies, those Chinese textbooks actually had demonizing content about Falun Gong and other groups. They
Yes.
were actually see directly CCP propaganda in the textbooks being used in American universities. So it could be directly their funding. It could be through these Chinese programs. I mean, I think that the American public doesn't have an idea how insidious this really is, and it's been going on, quite frankly, for decades.
Yeah, I've got a good friend who's really tied into China, and he and I have done shows on that. What is the problem the CCP has with a group like the Falun Gong? It seems like it's a meditation group.
Yeah, so just for some background for your viewers, Falun Gong is a meditation practice, Buddhist principles, kind of has slow-moving Qigong exercises based on the tenets of truthfulness, compassion, tolerance. That was introduced in China in 1992. At the time, the government supported it, said, hey, people are getting healthy. But what happened was between 92 and 99, 100 million people started practicing. So one out of every 13 people in China, largest, fastest growing spiritual movement in Asian history. And the Chinese Communist Party looked at that and said, wait, there's more people practicing than are in the Chinese Communist Party. This is really kind of going back to the traditional Chinese kind of culture and values. This is not atheism. This is not, class struggle. This is not the Marxist ideology we want. And that mixed with kind of the kind of dictator despot at the time who ran the party, Jiang Zemin, they started this persecution campaign, mostly to try to control practitioners. And that's gone on very brutally for over 26 years, involving mass imprisonments, hundreds of thousands of torture cases, death, really bad stuff. And now they've said, well, wait a second, this diaspora of Falun Gong, it's practiced freely in 120 countries. In the U.S., in the House just unanimously passed the Falun Gong Protection Act, which helps sanction officials if they're involved. So basically, it's getting to the national stage in the U.S., and they're saying, wait a second, we better control that narrative because we've committed crimes against humanity, and these things are starting to get out.
Yeah, exactly. And they are right. These things are getting out. Do we see this influence in America, particularly in education? Are they trying to lead young American students into believing in socialism?
Well, that's like a deep question. I do think that if you, there are definitely aspects of that where they will take a, they purposely take a divisive issue. Any US divisive issue could be politics, could be religion, could be anything that's happening, and they will insert themselves in a way to create more division. But as far as like from the ideology perspective, certainly they're funding and wanting that ideology of Marxism to spread so that they, it can help with more credibility. I mean, they tell a lot of lies, right? They tell a lot of lies about Chinese history, about raising the middle class, about all these things that they claim Marxism did, and those things do make their way into classrooms and to the young American mind, and those people think, oh, maybe it's not that bad. Well, they kind of left out the detail of how Mao killed upwards of 80 million people to do any of that. So it's like, wait a second here, you really need to study this to understand what happened in the Cultural Revolution, what happened to farmers, starvation. Like, that's actually Marxism.
Well, Trump says he has wealthy buyers who have not been identified, as far as I know, that are ready to step in and buy TikTok and avoid the closure of TikTok in America. Do you know anything about this? And should Americans welcome this, or is it pushing the problem down the road? What's the story here?
Yeah, I've heard that too, and I think it is coming to a head. I mean, even the Biden administration, now the Trump administration, have taken this head on. It doesn't look like it's going to go away. And I believe it's because they really know. Like, once the government bans something on a military device, those are good things for people like your viewers to look at and say, wait, maybe I shouldn't be using that. DeepSeek, their new AI algorithms, the same. So when it comes to TikTok making it in American hands, it is important. It's important not just that the data is stored in the U.S., because the data is. They claim the data is stored in the US now, but some of their engineers have come out, other people have come out and said, well, they still have backdoors to the data or backdoors to the information. So it's important that the algorithm itself, which controls the content people see or don't see, I think it's very important that if those influence American viewers and the American public, that those are controlled by American companies.
Well, I totally agree with that too. Do you know anything about the potential buyers on this?
I haven't seen the group doing that. What I do know, though, I just read the other day, is that TikTok is actually building a second app, like a second app, maybe the one that they'll sell, which to me is really interesting. I don't have inside information about that, but I wonder why you need to buy a second app. I wonder if there's something in the first app they wouldn't want a buyer to see, or I don't know. But there is, it does seem like they're moving in that direction where they might anticipate a sale.
Interesting. A second app. I wonder if that would be an attempt to avoid controversial issues superficially that American government officials would object to. And they're taking.
Possibly, or hide the algorithm, bury that. Like, I don't really know. But if they sell that and they don't sell the original app, then what is the, I mean, or maybe it's just less value. I don't know, but it seems a little bit odd.
I'm going to ask you a question. It's a little far afield, but I think it reflects what we're getting at here. Like I said, I have no problem with Chinese people. I have problems with the CCP. And in 2017, I was one of several people that got a supposed leaked document from the Central Planning Committee, the CCP. And Wei Fang, basically, he was the defense minister at that time. And he said that our goal is to occupy America with 300 million colonists, and we're not going to cohabitate, which basically meant we're going to wipe America out. Do you think that's something we should take seriously? Does that really reflect their worldview long term?
If somebody says something, you should believe them. Not if the Chinese Communist Party is telling you something, that benefits them. But I think you're getting at a very core issue, which is the Chinese Communist Party like a just a government like any other government that we can talk to, negotiate with, and is that what they actually are, or are they a totalitarian regime that seeks to export Marxism and their worldview everywhere in the world and export that? And I believe it's the latter, and I believe it's the latter because of the information that we've gotten. I mean, that 2022 directive by Xi Jinping, it operationalized the Ministry of State Security and the Ministry of Public Security, which are their intelligence apparatuses, to form a group to stop Falun Gong, specifically in North America. That means that they're attempting to take this playbook of media disinformation, lawfare to our country to silence dissidents and control what we think. And that doesn't stop with Falun Gong. Falun Gong just happens to be the canary in the coal mine on a lot of these things because it's a domestic issue for them. But they will stop at nothing to silence other critics and other things. I mean, as you mentioned, Kathy Hochul, our governor here in New York, had a spy in their office that
Yes.
was doing, some of the anti-Taiwan stuff, doing some of the proclamation, was actually paid. This is what we know about. There's another instance in Florida. This guy, Ping Li, who worked for a telecommunications company that was arrested. And he had, for over 10 years, they know, at least 2012, the FBI said, been giving information and data on American citizens, Falun Gong practitioners among them, to the Chinese Communist Party. So there's just so many instances of where we've caught and they've deployed actual spies doing real damage. And it doesn't stop there. We, as a Falun Gong community in the past few years, there's been over 150 death threats, bomb threats, threats to kidnap the children of Falun Gong practitioners. I mean, this is terroristic in nature, and I think it needs to be taken very seriously.
Yeah, and the organ transplants are nefarious. I've covered that a lot in the past. In fact, there was just recently a case I came across. I can't remember the gentleman's name. He was a resident at a medical school in a hospital, and he was opposed to, let's say, participating in death in hospital so they could extract organs. And his body got thrown out of a fifth floor window, and the Chinese labeled it suicide, no autopsy. Parents went to the room, found signs of struggle. So this is all continuing. Nothing has changed with China. But I'm wondering if you think Trump could be compromised. I did an interview yesterday with someone who told me that the Chinese are, I'm thinking how you put it, at least a decade ahead in rare earth minerals. And if they pulled the plug on us, we would notice it immediately and be in strong, a strong, difficult position. Do you think that's playing a role in our foreign policy here and why we're pausing the tariffs?
Well, there's definitely things that play beyond like my expertise, but I would say that the administration is very well positioned to do something on the Chinese Communist Party. And I say that because like people like Marco Rubio, that are in the administration. Marco Rubio, we've known for many years in the Falun Gong community, has always kind of understands the nature of the CCP. I think that the Trump administration understands that the true nature of the Chinese Communist Party, which is kind of what we just talked about. And I think that's the first step. And if you look at the first Trump administration through to the Biden administration through to the current Trump administration, if you just look at the kind of this Department of State, like Blinken under Biden and under Trump, they started sanctioning CCP officials for things like Falun Gong, and they had never done that previous. No presidents had ever done that previous because the posture was always by the CCP: we will discuss human rights issues and other issues in private. We will never discuss them in public. If you want to do any business with us, if you want to do anything with us, these are third rail issues. And now we're starting to see multiple administrations, touch those third rail issues, talk about these things. And I think they're very well positioned, despite the leverage that the Chinese Communist Party may have in other areas, to actually address these core human rights issues, which are really at the core of if we should be and how should we should be interacting with the CCP at all, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's really true. Well, okay, by controlling TikTok, if the Chinese can maintain their editorial control through proxies or whatever, what is their goal on TikTok? Because obviously they're looking at a younger group, a younger generation.
Well, let's look at what I think one way to answer that question is to look at what they've done in China. So, what have they done in China will be what they're trying to export to the West. So, what have they done? Well, obviously, in China, they have complete control of everything, the internet, every major company through the Great Firewall and other things. And so, they control everything. Like, if you look at something like WeChat, which is their basically mass messaging service in China, everyone's on WeChat, it's how they communicate, it's how they pay. Chinese have full kind of content moderation control. They've even launched through WeChat like campaigns against Falun Gong and other communities like nationally. They actually will launch these campaigns, sign this petition, against this religion. And so what we can see there is that they have a very strong hold and ability to control what people think, to have these mouthpieces. And so if we look at that being the model, well, what are they going to do in the West? What, from the Falun Gong issue perspective, what they've said is we want to damage Falun Gong's reputation in the West so that people don't want to support them. And you can see that playing out in the media, it, through frivolous lawsuits and also through social media. For instance, even take away TikTok on X, the Twitter platform, there was thousands of bot accounts recently removed by Twitter themselves that were amplifying propaganda against Falun Gong and one of the performing arts companies, Shenyun, which is founded by Falun Gong practitioners. So you can see they will weaponize our systems, our law, our anything that they can. So if it's something they directly control, I mean, forget about it.
No, that makes a lot of sense. But I just think that it's a soft form of brainwashing for the youth too. The Chinese way may be better, that kind of thing. Socialism is king. That's what I would expect to be their ultimate goals. Do they have influence in other social media besides TikTok?
Well, one of the areas that I've been looking at more closely lately is in AI. So, just for your viewers, I mean, AI is kind of moving fast and kind of confusing, but you basically have these large models, right? These foundational models, and Google has one, OpenAI has one. These are American companies, and so and Meta has one, formerly Facebook has one, and Meta's one is like open source, which means hey, you can just use it in your company and kind of you can have the source code and you can kind of use it, right? It's kind of what open source means. So China has developed something called DeepSeek AI. And it's also open source, which means anyone can use it. It's offered by major US companies to their to actually their customers, their Fortune 100, 500 customers. Hey, you can use this DeepSeek AI model. And there was a lot that came out, oh, it's efficient, it's this and that. But actually, some of the tests that we've run have shown that it has, it's like you try to go ask a question about Falun Gong. It's no information or very limited information. So built into this open source is actually already content moderation, even though it's quote unquote open source. And so you can start to see, wait a second, this is not a benevolent technology play where they're just giving, American companies and others, they want the Chinese tech stack, whether that be social media, whether that be AI, whether that be communications through Huawei, to be kind of that universal standard across the world, because that gives ultimate control to the CCP.
Yeah, they have some control issues though, because right now, and this is something I'm very sure of, too many old people in China to help their labor force. A lot of the young people there in China are dropping out. They're becoming domestic engineers in their families' homes because there's a saying called "let it rot." I forget the Chinese term for it now, but they're not participating in high numbers in the Chinese economic system, which is really fragmented right now. Do you think that's going to lessen their grip on what they're trying to do in the American media and they need to focus internally? How do you think the domestic issues in China are going to come into play?
Yeah, well, certainly people can do that research because they have a lot of kind of economic pressure, other pressures. Obviously, we've seen real estate, things like that, things that I'm not necessarily an expert on. But I think overall, if you look at the last 100 years of the Chinese Communist Party, how have they been able to maintain control under a dictatorship? Because really, it is totalitarian. People don't have freedom of thought, and one of the ways that I believe they've been able to do that is basically materialism, right? So they've been able to kind of say through materialism, through kind of betterment, especially in the big cities, hey, you have more things now, basically, right? But if that starts to get pressured and their ability to basically pay, and even if, through the populace, if economy becomes an issue, it's not just that that will become an issue for the everyday person. It's that all their apparatuses need to be funded. Their secret police, the persecution of Falun Gong, like their ability to control the nation is a large amount of their GDP, not to mention all of the the amount of the GDP they're investing in trying to influence the US. So I feel like economically, if that does suffer, you will see that lessen. But at the same time, to be quite honest, we do see, I think it's more like are US companies going to continue funding that, right? Because really the CCP didn't just come up with its own money. It's really a lot of investment from the West that has funded that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But you almost get the feeling, though, when I look at the CCP struggles right now with leadership, that they're struggling with the people right now. And I hate to see people suffer, but I think that could help us in position to control some of this domestically in America. Here's my big concern about TikTok. If Trump gets these wealthy people to buy TikTok, what are their business relationships with Chinese companies, particularly front companies? Do you have any information on that?
Well, I think that's a really good question. And I believe that's where I'd like to see, and I believe the Trump administration is well positioned through the DOJ to be investigating this more. Basically, we should be investigating the relationships between all American companies, American media companies. For instance, like it wasn't even until a few years ago that American media companies had to disclose basically if the CCP had paid them for inserts. So there was this paper insert called China Watch, which was pure CCP propaganda in English. It was inserted into most of the major newspapers in the United States, most of the major newspapers, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and others. And I remember looking at those, and they look like they're a native part of the paper. And they would have information, anti-Falun Gong information, all this stuff. And those papers didn't even have to disclose that they had a financial relationship with the Chinese Communist Party until very recently. So I feel like more laws like that and more pressure like that that can actually disclose and investigate some of these things and how those things are influencing the United States are going to be really, really key.
Yeah, the reason that prompted my question was he had this guy, an American-based, American-born man named Singham, who's been caught for the CCP funding these anti-ICE riots, in particularly in places like LA. He's given them face masks and signs, and he basically is promoting domestic insurrection. And I know the DOJ's taken a hard look at him, but he's an agent and a member of the CCP. And
It is
he's an American. That's
really hard, right? And I think that's part of the challenge here. It's hard for your viewers. It's hard. It's even hard for the government because of how insidious this is, right? I mean, we've had this issue ourselves where Falun Gong community in New York had gotten these frivolous lawsuits, right? And you look into it, and it's from this environmental company, right? And so it looks legitimate. They were all dismissed by a New York judge, but when you looked into it, you found that wait, this person that runs this nonprofit spent like a decade plus in China and comes back and just starts this nonprofit. And the only thing they're doing is launching these lawsuits. But you go and you say that, but you don't yet have the proof or it hasn't been dismissed. People go, oh, well, just because they have a relationship with China. But that's not true because we actually found through those lawsuits another DOJ case where two CCP spies were arrested for trying to bribe who they thought was the IRS to revoke a Falun Gong affiliated like Shenyun Performing Arts nonprofit status. And when those documents in that case came out, we found that one of those spies, John Chen, who had met Xi Jinping multiple times, was actually in the area spying for what they said was environmental lawsuits. So you start to see how, wait a second, now these things start to be very related. But if you don't have that bust and you don't have this information, it's really hard to connect the dots.
Yeah, one of my colleagues in this business did some research and said that 33 ex-congressmen and senators represent Chinese interest as lobbyists right now in the House of Representatives and the Senate. Very disturbing. John Boehner being the Boehner was the most notorious of them all, former Speaker of the House. So yeah, it's a problem, and I think TikTok is just one part of this problem. But I'm concerned because of the effect it could have on the youth and their attitudes. That's
Absolutely.
my biggest concern right here. I'm a former educator, and I got to tell you, the kids are vulnerable right now because they're embracing, because we're going through economic hard times, they're embracing the promise of something for nothing that socialism brings. And it's never worked. Can you imagine if the Chinese had our economic model, what they could do worldwide? It'd be phenomenal.
The Chinese people, I mean, if there's no Chinese Communist Party, perhaps you look at the ingenuity and the ability of the Chinese
You're right.
people. I mean, that's really, and honestly, that's exactly where China's prosperity has come from, in my opinion. It's come from the Chinese people themselves. It has not
Yes.
come from the Chinese Communist Party. Chinese Communist Party has siphoned and benefited themselves from that, but it's come from the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, it's come from the Chinese people.
Well, the corruption of the CCP is catching up with it right now economically. And we're seeing banks fail and real estate collapse and so forth. And it's the root of it is the corruption. And I'm just saying, if you could turn China loose with the free market economy with some rules, they would dwarf the rest of the world. I mean, maybe it's fortunate for America there is a CCP on that hand, but it's not anything I want to embrace. How do people follow your good work?
Yeah, thanks so much. So Falun Dafa Information Center, FalunDafa. You can find our website at faluninfo.net. We have a lot of reports. We're publishing a lot about the transnational repression in the United States and things that people should pay attention to. So you can check out our website. You can follow us on social media. And honestly, I think the best way is just watch shows like yours. Be informed at dinner parties or anywhere that your viewers are. Talk about these things and educate people because a lot of people don't understand this threat that we're under.
Yeah, look, I really appreciate the courage it takes to come on here and your expertise in this and bringing attention to this critical issue. Our guest has been Ben Maloney. And Ben, thank you so much for joining us here on the Common Sense Show.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Take care. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. Hey, we're brought to you by Ageless Multi-Collagen. This is a fine powder that you mix up, put in your favorite drink, stir it up, odorless, tasteless. Now, what do you get? Well, collagen is the elixir of youth, and you've lost about half of it by the time you get to middle age. And things like hair falling out, wrinkles forming, sore joints, lack of elasticity in muscles, and a whole lot more show up. If you could replace the collagen, well, then you would see these things reverse. Well, there's good news. BioTrust has produced a product that does exactly that, and they guarantee the results. 60-day money-back guarantee, 53% off. And then they give you all kinds of post-purchases benefits, including a free meal to a hungry child for every one of these that are sold. And they have diet support information as well. Go to healthwithdave.com. That's healthwithdave.com. Okay, I have seen an alleged Epstein list. I'm not talking about any of the names on here. It comes from a fairly high-level, powerful source. It's on X. You can look it up yourself. I'm not publishing it because I can't confirm it. And if I reported this in good faith, it's not likely I'd be the subject of defamation. That's not what's holding me back. Reporting accuracy and fairness is what's holding me back. But I will tell you this, if these lists exist from high-level sources, then Pam Bondi is not doing her job. I'm going to stop just short of saying she should be replaced, but I'm going to break it down for you. For her to say, and I believe she's taken orders, for her to say there is no Epstein list. Well, that's like saying no one ever keeps a business record. It's not even a believable story. It's a total fabrication by Pam Bondi. I don't care if you're running a mafia enterprise, if it's a trafficking enterprise, or you're running a drugstore pharmacy, you're gonna have business records. And those records will include dollar amounts and names. So to say there's no list is an absolute lie. And the American people are owed transparency. This is what the Trump administration promised. Now, I've looked at the list and I'm not even going to form a conclusion. I'll tell you what my mindset was yesterday before I saw this alleged list. And I want to say alleged with lots of question marks. There's only two reasons that come to mind on why you would repress an obviously existing list. One, you're protecting the people or person that are on this list. It would be embarrassing for this to come out. And it's not just the GOP, folks. We had 4 years of cover-up from the Democrats as well. So this is a bi-party responsibility. This isn't just MAGA, Republican Party. It's also the Democrats. They had an opportunity to bring out what they had, and they chose not to. The same is going on here with Pam Bondi. So the number one reason, I believe, is to protect people who are on the list for whatever political reason. The other factor could be it's being used to blackmail a key figure or figures for political gain. Can you think of anything else? I can't think of anything else, but the American people have a right to know. If we don't have transparency in this administration, then this administration can't claim to be any different than the past administration with allegations of AutoPen and so forth. There needs to be total accountability. The old saying from Shakespeare comes to mind for me. Though the heavens may fall, let justice prevail. And justice needs to prevail. And I'm going to be honest with you too. With the minute missing tape and with the gymnastics Epstein would have had to have performed to do what they said he did to himself, I'm not even buying this. I'm not buying anything in this narrative, both from Democratic administration and this present administration. And I'll tell you, Jeffrey Epstein would have had the best protection ever, kill list. Something happens to me, hey, everything's coming out. And then we know his connections with the intelligence community, his family's connections with the intelligence community, the fact his father was a Mossad agent. This is all well-known facts, but I'm saying it adds to the mystery and basically blows up Pam Bondi's credibility. I think she has until the end of this month to produce the list, unredacted, or she needs to resign. Tell me what you think. This is volatile, and I'm not making allegations. This person's on it. This person isn't. I'm just telling you the range of possibilities as I see it, and the fact that we're not getting transparency, and the fact they say there's no list is absolutely unbelievable. And Dave, aren't you GOP? Yeah, but I'm also G-O-D first. Honesty, integrity, loyalty. Thou shalt not lie. That's my first priority in life. God, family, country. Country is third on my list. It's time for honesty, Pam Bondi. You have failed. And I want to know who's told her not to do this. And then you've got Bongino and Patel wrapped up into this now. You can tell they're unwilling participants. I read the body language. They ain't buying what they're saying. I can tell you that right now. I used to teach body language. And I can tell you right now, they were as uncomfortable as anything when they were promoting this fiction that there's no list. They know, and they're not allowed to say. And I think it's time the truth came out. You want to research it yourself? Go through X, look at it, decide for yourself if you think these lists are valid. I don't know what you would use as a standard of proof. You see, the reality is that President Trump could give you a list. And you can't say that it's real until you've adjudicated, investigated it, and proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt in the court of law. That's how you would prove this. Not just shadow innuendos, and this is how it is. You all agree or not agree? Looking forward to reading comments that you'll send to me. Your opinion does matter to me. But integrity sure is lacking here. Check out our newsletter at thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the newsletter link upper right-hand corner. Put in your email. No, we don't sell your data. We will never do that. It's reprehensible. And we will send you a 24-hour, previous 24-hour recapitulation of everything that we do. People say, hey, that's great. I only have to go to one source to get everything you do in the course of a 24-hour period. Yeah, pretty simple, isn't it? People love it. Over 50,000 people are subscribed. TheCommonSenseShow.com. We'll see you over there. Hey, thanks for signing up for this. And thank you very much for joining us here. We got a lot coming today. You notice I had a short stint yesterday, right? I think I had one item. Yeah. Under the weather, recovering, doing better. Going to have a full day today. Looking forward to it. God bless all of you. It's still great to be an American. Wouldn't want to be here, wouldn't want to be there. What would you say? It's great to be an American. It's best to be here. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. And we would really encourage you to sign up for our TV show. We got fun stuff there. Yeah, geopolitics, the interviews, of course. And they're all important, but sometimes we like to have fun. Science fiction, we've covered the UFO, congressional hearings that are still ongoing, believe it or not. They're kind of taken backstage to all the other high-powered stuff that's going on, but they're still there. You know, like quantum physics, powers of the mind, repressed technology, hidden history. You know, we like all that stuff. And people love it. TheCommonSenseShow.tv. Sign up today. Hey, we're brought to you by the Magic Dicol products. You know, what is that? That's NanoSoma. Exhibit one, the NanoSoma spray. You know, when I had RSV, strep lung linings, talked about that last year, fever blisters, all that. This raised my immune system to an incredible level by enhancing vitamin C, D, the nuclear receptors, and really promoting the telomeres, cell growth, cell life. And all of a sudden, I went from not being able to go up a flight of stairs, went about a 2 week period being able to do that. Then I was back in the gym at a pretty low level and gradually began to increase, but I had inflammation, old stuff, bone on bone knee. Well, then I started to rub this on at the encouragement of my friend Scotty Sachs, rubbed it on, and over a 2 to 3 month period, and they say this grows pluripotent stem cells, the pain went away. Today, squats, deadlifts, farmers walks, all the stuff that used to bother me, no more. No inflammation, no restrictions. I haven't done the things I'm doing in over 25 years. And then finally, you know, when I had the cut finger and the big bandage, well, I was putting this on it and wrapping it. I should have had stitches, probably 4 to 5 stitches. And I didn't do it. I said, I'm going to treat it with this. Put some of this on, voila. Also erases fine lines and wrinkles. This is the 3-pack, and together it's 15% off. You'll get three of these and one of the other two. It's a fantastic opportunity for you. Boost your immune system. It'll do for you what it did for me. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, pastors can finally tell the truth. Oh, listen to my pastor friends out there. I'm not saying anything negative about you. The vast majority of pastors, good people, but we had something that was called the Johnson Amendment. And I think one of the most evil men we've ever had in the White House as president was Lyndon Baines Johnson, my humble opinion. And he took action against pastors. Now, churches have always received a beneficial tax status called the 501c3. And so anything that's given to them, which are really technically gifts, right? Your offering, your tithing is a gift. And gifts aren't taxable, right? Okay. So he took something that was legal to do and also was free and not taxable and said, okay, we'll let you continue your 501c3 and get your tax deductible donations. That's fine. But you're going to have a restriction. You can't talk about politics. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Is political events, is that a fine line? Like the mistreatment of Caitlin Clark in the WNBA, the bullying of her, the intimidation, the overtones of various social cultural factors. Is that political or is that sports? Well, it's both. So how do you define a political event? So pastor is saying, okay, I'm on a razor thin budget, both for my family, myself, and for my church. I can't afford to pay one third of what comes in taxes. I'm afraid of saying the wrong thing. Now, it didn't keep pastors from saying, hey, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Didn't stop him from that. But it could stop him from going to the next step in invoking a current event example that could be construed as political. Well, the Trump administration has announced there will be no enforcement of the Johnson Amendment. I think only a Christian would do that. I'm answering some critics of Trump. And I applaud this move. Although, do you know how many people were actually taken to court over the Johnson Amendment? 10, 100, 1,000? Liberals or conservatives, any idea? Jewish, Catholic, Presbyterian, Hindu, any idea? No, no idea. It's because there weren't any. There wasn't one prosecution. This was the biggest con game ever played by a president, maybe except for Roosevelt, FDR, and the gold revaluation deal. Okay, that's another matter for another time. But this was on that level. This was a con job. Johnson knew legally and constitutionally he couldn't enforce this. First of all, he wants to tax a gift. Secondly, he's limiting free speech. And free speech as it relates to the first part of five protected rights in the First Amendment, which is freedom of religion. He would have gotten nowhere in the Supreme Court. But the pastors were too afraid to test it. And I have criticism of the pastors, but when I'm pointing one finger at you, my pastor friends, I'm pointing three at myself. Peter was told before the crucifixion, you'll deny me three times. Oh, no, master, I would never do that to you. And that's exactly what Peter did. And the Lord's really clear. If you deny me before others, I'll deny you before my Father, meaning you're not getting into heaven. Peter got into heaven. He certainly made amends. As you know, he was the disciple that was hung upside down because he wasn't worthy in his mind to be crucified like Christ. But I believe all pastors who limited their sermons to straight biblical, non-political interpretations, I think he did a disservice to your flock. I think that you denied Christ. And I'd like to say, I would never do such a thing. We do it all the time. When we measure our speech with regard to our religious beliefs, we're committing the sin that Peter committed. So I can't say that I rise above you, but here's what I want to say to you now. Okay. None of us are perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. However, going forward, would you please speak out on issues as Jesus would speak out? You have nothing limiting you now. Donald Trump just lifted the perceived chains of oppression and limitations on free speech from you. Take full advantage of it. It's to the benefit of your flock and those who you're designed to help save their souls. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We will see you back here again next time. Chinese spy infiltrates the highest levels of New York state government. This is unacceptable. We're going to break it down for you right here on the Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. This is the second Chinese spy story of this segment. This is unacceptable. Under any circumstances, this is unacceptable. And yet it's happened. It's happened. We're going to break it down for you here. We are brought to you by Ageless Multi-Collagen from BioTrust. Do you know that when you buy one of these, this company is so concerned about the welfare of our society? They donate a free meal to a kid that's hungry. Let me tell you about the product. It's collagen replacement. If you don't know what collagen does for you, it's your elixir of youth, and you've lost half of it by the time you're middle age. And how do you handle it? How do you handle it? Well, you age. Collagen runs out, or you can find a collagen replacement, but most of those don't work. This does work. Five types of collagen blended into one, crosses the blood-brain barrier, and it's your own fountain of youth. Hair stops falling out like it was. Wrinkles aren't forming like they were. Elasticity in the muscles, scientific research to prove it. Lots of support to help you on your journey back to youth and health in terms of diet, food advice. It's fantastic. Now, save Dave. I want to be guaranteed it works. 60-day money-back guarantee, more than enough time. 53% off. Go to healthwithdave.com to restore your youth. That's healthwithdave.com. Linda Sun, she's not only a spy, she's a thief. But who I blame for this? Cuomo, when he was governor, and Hochul, the present governor. This is unacceptable. Communist CCP member comes here at the age of five. Talk about planting a spy to raise. It reminds me of the show The Americans on USA Network. This is amazing. She came here at five, naturalized citizen, but a member of the CCP as it's come out. And charges that have been filed in federal district court emphasize that point. She was high up in chain of command. She was at one time the head of DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. She then had some chief of staff duties for both Cuomo and Hochul. And she was spying for China. And she had infiltrated and had influence on New York State government, one of our most important states in the country. We just went through a spy scandal, which charges have been filed, that was an attempt to destroy our food supply and to harm Americans. And now we have this. This reminds me of when the late Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, it turned out that her driver of over 20 years was a Chinese spy. They are everywhere, people. The CCP has totally infiltrated every level, every level. They have huge influence in Congress. We're seeing this spy scandal in New York. We saw the agro-terrorism scandal coming out of the University of Michigan. And this is the tip of the iceberg. We finally have an administration that gives a darn about the health, wealth, security, welfare of America. And they're looking for these things, and they're finding them. Previous administration, it appears to me, could have cared less, and it was just business as usual, just ignore it. Hochul was happy. By the way, too, let me tell you what else Linda Sin done. Remember the PPE funds, right? Money by the federal government allocated to help states deal with the COVID crisis. Do you remember that? She was stealing that money. People that would have lost jobs, people who might have been really sick and confined to their home. She was stealing PPE funds. It doesn't get much lower than that. Unbelievable. Anyway, she would do things like, let's talk about her spy activities for a minute. She would block Taiwan officials from being able to meet with New York State officials like former Governor Cuomo and present Governor Hochul. She attempted to block those meetings. Why? Because China wants Taiwan and they want no credibility. Taiwan trying to establish relationship with the New York State government to do business. Do you know where those people ended up going? In my home state of Arizona, about 30, 35 miles from me, out in a remote region north of metropolitan Phoenix, a huge, and I mean huge chip plant, I say huge, size of it, plus you see hundreds of cars, and this happened almost like overnight. The Taiwanese took their chip plant there. They wanted to take it to New York. This woman blocked that. There's a benefit to my state, huge employer, good boost to our state economy, but it wasn't right. It was not right. How many spies do we have like this person at top levels? This is scary. The level of spying coming out right now, no wonder Trump is looking at revoking the visas of 300,000 Chinese students. I have mixed feelings on that, but I do agree there needs to be an investigation. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here in the next segment.